The following program has been pre-recorded. The views expressed by the participants are not necessarily those of WHFR Radio or Henry Ford College. Welcome to We Are Not Alone. We're local investigators, as well as world-renowned scientists and ufologists, share their latest evidence in support of the UAP reality. I'm David Twitchell, and for the next hour, we'll be exploring the mysteries of the UFO, UAP, and abduction phenomenon.
Our guest today is Kevin J. Briggs. Mr. Briggs was on the show 3 years ago, and it's past time that we have him back. Kevin is an author who specializes in consciousness and the connection to ET/UFOs. His recently published book is titled Spiritual Consciousness, A Personal Journey, and covers 57 years of his experiences of ET contact and UFO connections. Kevin speaks to many groups of UFO and ET enthusiasts and is always well received. Kevin has written articles which have been published in the Truth magazine. He has also written an article about his ET experiences, which have been published in the New Observations magazine. Kevin has also appeared on local radio stations and recently filmed for a TV show, Unlocking Your Limitless Life, hosted by Susan Schetzer. He was also a keynote speaker in Miami at the Consciousness and Contact Experiencer Conference, hosted by the Edgar Mitchell Foundation for Research into Extraterrestrial and Extraordinary Experiences. Kevin has also been a guest on the Whitley Strieber radio show, Unknown Country, as well as many others. He is a co-author with Melissa Kennedy and Edgar Yohei, the book Tap into Universal Energy, Understanding Cosmic Energy and Consciousness. So welcome back to the show, Kevin.
Well, thank you, David. Thanks for inviting me. The 3 years have gone by very quickly. I didn't realize it was so long. So nice to see you again, and thank you for inviting me.
Well, it's good to see you again. Unfortunately, our listeners can't see you, but they can certainly hear you.
Okay, well, that's good.
And for those of our listeners now, like I say, this is 3 years ago, so if our listeners don't recall, please remind us about your early introduction to the UAP and paranormal phenomena.
Okay, well, just do a quick, brief overview. It started when I was 3 years old. I realized my conscious energy, because we discussed all this on the first interview we did. When I was 3 years old, I realized my conscious energy was in a physical body again. I was actually physically aware of it, physically aware of the physical body and the consciousness itself within inside the body. And I was looking out and I could see that, and I knew that at three. And then at 8 years old, I was taking a bath at home, and there was a change in the frequency within the bathroom. I was always sensitive to the different frequencies that surround us, and I felt the change in the frequency within the bathroom, and I looked to my right, and two beings appeared. Those beings are Ort and Dee. They are Arcturians. They are fifth-dimensional beings, and their job description is guides and teachers. That's what they do. So it frightened me to death at the time, as you can imagine, David. And they were talking telepathically to one another, not to me. They were talking about me. And the conversation went D, that's the female, said to Ort, that's the male, is this the boy? And Ort said, yes, this is the boy. And then she said, are you sure? Look at him, he's small, he's uneducated, and he's frightened by our presence. And she was correct, I was terrified. There was some other conversation, and then he said that, yes, this is a boy, I will guide him, I will teach him. There was some other conversation again, and then they left. And so that frightened her. I didn't get out of the bath. My mother came in to see why I was still in the bathtub. I told her about the two beings, and she said it was just my imagination. It wasn't. I'm still in contact with them to this day. And he was true to his word. He's taught me many things about consciousness, many things about the true reality of consciousness, and how it's entangled within our reality. And most of my education, I know that with some of our staff honours, they'll take people into a craft and sit them down in a classroom and teach them. All my education was through practical experiences, and a lot of those were out of body, out of the physical realm. So that was quite, but that being out of the physical realm is part of the education as well. It shows that there are two realms. We have the physical and the spiritual realm, which I think is the important part of the messages that they wanted me to learn over the years. And I have done that, and I've explored it with them. So the next encounter, I was nine, and a pure conscious energy orb appeared in my home. It was there from Sunday until Friday. It was a pure conscious energy orb of Ort himself. I didn't know that at the time. I do now. It showed as a round ball, like an orb, and it was 4 to 6 inches across, yellow, golden in colour, and slightly vibrating. When he left on the Friday, I suspect they activated something within my DNA. Our DNA are encoded with light frequencies, and these can be activated. And I suspect they activated that because I had no other communication with him. I didn't even know it was Ort at that time. But from that day on, I was able to travel out of body at will. I would just relax, open my mind, and go wherever I wanted to go out of body. And I didn't know the full potential then. I do now because I still use it. But at that time, as a 9-year-old boy, I would just go and visit my grandparents who lived 70 miles away in Liverpool. I would enter through the roof. I would go into a dressing room they had off the master bedroom upstairs. And there was a chair there. I would sit in the chair as an orb, looking down through the floor, which was opaque. And I would see my grandmother in the kitchen, usually cooking on a Sunday, and my grandfather watching the TV or reading the newspaper. And it gave me great comfort to see them. And that's all I used it for as a very young child. As I say, I didn't know the full potential of it. But I often wondered what would they have seen if they'd have come upstairs. I know the answer to that now. They would have seen my conscious energy orb, round, 4 to 6 inches in diameter, slightly vibrating, golden yellow in colour, just as I'd seen Ort's conscious energy. And I've met with them many times out of the physical realm, as pure conscious energy orbs. I've met with them while they've been orbs, and while I've been an orb as well. But that's moving further down the line in relation to developing the natural human abilities that we all have, I'm sure. So that would take me up to nine. And then the next encounter, 14, I had a paper round. And every time I left the home, a UFO would appear above the house. And then I'd be walking or cycling down towards the newspaper store, and the second UFO would always appear. They would follow me around the paper round, and then when I'd finished the round, one would go back in the direction it had come from, and the other one would go straight up into space. And while they were there, I was sensitive to these frequencies, and I knew that there was someone behind the hedge, behind the wall. And on one occasion, I plucked up courage. And I said, I know you're there. Can you show yourself? And two small greys stepped out from behind the hedge, behind the wall. I wasn't frightened. And I said, "What do you want?" And they said, "There's a group of people that want to meet with you. Would I go with them?" And I said, "Well, I've got my paper round to finish, and I've got to go to school, so I don't think I'll be able to go with you." And they said, "Well, you can finish your paper round. You're nearly finished anyway, and we'll have you back in time for school." So I agreed to go with them, and I finished my paper round, and I was taken in a small craft. We went up to a large mothership. The only reason why I think it's a mothership is because when we egressed from the small craft, we were in the hangar, and the hangar was the size of two football stadiums with all these different craft. From there, I was escorted down to an amphitheatre, and in that amphitheatre, it was full of all different people, different beings, and at the front, there were eight people sat on the stage. And though I thought I was just there as a human specimen, but they were the people I was there to meet. I now refer to them as the Council of Eight. The first two were Orton D, the two that materialized in my bathroom. Again, I said they're Arcturians. Then there was Zark. He's a small grey from the Pleiades system. He's a mathematician and engineer. He designed propulsion systems, he tells me. I know him quite well now because I've met him numerous times. And in fact, he has a sense of humour, and we don't see our star families, especially the Greys, having a sense of humour, but he certainly does. So, and then there was Anna. She was a blue bird type being, very empathic, very tight, small blue feathers. And then in the middle was Ra. He was an Anunnaki, very old, very powerful energies with him. And he was the leader of this group, the leader of this Council of Eight. And then there was Targ. He's a tall grey, and he told me that he was the responsible for the security, not only of this group, this Council of Eight, but for this quadrant of the galaxy. I
Really?
hadn't thought about the galaxy being separated into quadrants, but that's what he told me. And then Chica, I was a bit perturbed by Chica. He's a tall mantis being, over 6 feet tall, just like the mantis beings we have here, the small ones. I see them occasionally in my yard. Just like that, but over 6 feet tall. Quite intimidating, really, for a small 14-year-old boy. And then the last one was Orla. She was a tall, white astrobiologist, she told me. And she had a very pale complexion, and her hair was translucent. You could see through it. But yes, again, empathic, all the abilities that they all have, that we have, but very often we don't explore them. So that would be really the beginning of my journey with this Council of Eight. And it continues to this day. I continue to meet with them. Most of the education came from Ort and D. And again, as I say, a lot of it was out of body. And that was because I used to travel out of body, go and see, I used to use it just for simple things. Like, I want to go around to see a friend who's at home when I was young, a young boy, 16, 17, 18. I would leave my body and go over to see if he was at home first before I'd walk the 10, 15 minutes around to his home. So simple use like that. And then when I used to go to work, I used to go on the bus. And sometimes when I got to the bus stop, there was a huge line. So I had a choice of two bus stops to go to. So as I came out of my apartment, I would leave my body, go and look at the two different bus stops, and then choose one with the smallest line and walk to that bus stop. So they were just simple things, really, because I didn't know the full potential. Even then, I do now. I've used it extensively. But I met Orton D on the astral plane on numerous occasions, and I can go and travel there, as I'm sure we all can once we learn to do this. And I remember on one occasion, quite an interesting story. I was on the astral plane, just traveling on my own because I like to do that, it's relaxing. And a craft came alongside me. And on the craft was Orton D. And they invited me on the craft. So I went through the skin of the craft, bearing in mind I'm traveling as a conscious energy orb. And as I went through the skin, I felt it was conscious. And then once inside, it was Orton D. After greetings, I asked what they wanted again. And they said that they wanted me to convey a message to somebody. And that person was Dr. Stephen Greer at that time. And I didn't know him, I'd heard of him. Anyway, they gave him the message. And then I said to them, "Who shall I say the message is from?" And they said, "Tell him it's from the light beings." And I also said to them, "Let me see if I understand this correctly. Here we are, three different beings. I am from the third dimension, I'm human. You are from the fifth dimension, you are Acturian. We are traveling on the astral plane outside of our physical realm on a conscious energy craft that you've created. Is that correct?" And Art said, "Yes, that's correct." I said, "Right." I said, "I see you as pure conscious energy orbs, 4 to 6 inches in diameter, orangey, golden, yellow in color, slightly vibrating. How do you see me?" And Art said, "Kevin, we see you exactly the same as a pure conscious energy orb." So that's how I'd meet them. And I met them numerous amounts of time, out of body, on the conscious craft. And I can do it at will when I want to do that. And vice versa, they come and visit me. So really, it's quite an extensive journey, really. And it's continuing to this day. And really, the education has been one of consciousness, conscious energy, and the spiritual side of who we are as a species. And I've had many practical experiences of using conscious energy for communication, for travel, for healing, for education, for creation and co-creation. And the creation and co-creation are very important because when we understand that, we can create our reality, co-create our reality. And that's what we are doing now once we understand that. So that's the culmination of it all, really, David. But it's been gradual over the years, a little bit at a time, another experience. And I remember on one occasion, I was about 17, 18, and I tried to find other people that would travel out of the body. And so I asked my family, I asked my friends, but I asked in a third party because I knew there was some stigma to this knowledge, this information. So I said, "I have a friend of mine who travels outside of his body, outside of the physical realm at will. Do you know anybody else that can do this?" And the answer came back, no. And they said, "He must be delusional." Okay. So I couldn't find anybody. So that evening, and I remember exactly where I was in my apartment, I thought, "I'll ask Art. You know, he's given me these abilities. Well, I think he's given me the abilities. And I'll ask him." So I went to bed that night. I relaxed. I opened my mind. I held my hand out of bed. And I said, "Art, I know there's a lot more to this. Can you come and show me more?" He came. He took hold of my hand. I left my body. I looked down. I could see it was fast asleep. We went out through the window, and I'm 3 stories up. Went out through the window, round the subdivision, and then back in through the window. And I saw my body fast asleep, and I went back into my body. The following morning, I thought, "Wow, that was cool." I don't know what it was really. I'm used to leaving my body on my own, but not with someone else. So I decided to do the same again the second night, and same process. Relaxed, opened my mind, held my hand out. Asked Ork to come and show me more. He came, he took hold of my hand. I left my body. I looked down, I could see it was fast asleep. We went out through the window. This time we went down into Leeds city centre in the UK where I lived and worked at the time. I recognised the different buildings, the university, the hospital, the town hall, and Leeds was a vibrant city at that time with a nightlife and everybody was milling about. We flew around the city and came back to my apartment. Through the window, and I could see my body fast asleep. I went back into my body and then woke up the following morning thinking, "Wow, I'm not certain whether I'm dreaming, sleepwalking, or what." So I thought I'll try it again for the third night, but I was a bit concerned about going out through the window in case I was sleepwalking because I was 3 stories up and it was concrete pavement below. So, same routine again, relax, open my mind, held my hand out. Asked Art to come and show me more. He came, he took hold of my hand. I left my body, same routine, I could see it fast asleep. And I said, "Do you mind if we go out through the roof this time? Because I'm concerned about we're 3 stories up. I'm not certain whether I'm dreaming, sleepwalking, and I'm just concerned about our concrete pavement below." He said, "Yes, no problem." So we went out through the roof. And then all subsequent journeys, we were travelled out through the roof. So that, again, that was just a lesson, a practical lesson in leaving the body, really, but leaving the body with someone else. And I've met other people now that travel out the body. There's different groups. I think the Monroe Institute teach how people how to travel outside in the physical realm. So it's not as taboo as it used to be when I was a child, when I was growing up. Other people, I've met other people now that teach out-of-body travel. Remote viewing, that's another aspect of it. So, but yeah, I think the main reason is to, I'm at a stage now where I can communicate using, as I say, using consciousness, conscious energy for communication, travel, healing, education, creation, and co-creation. So I can communicate at their level of consciousness. I can travel with them at their level of consciousness. So the practical education is being, what's the word I'm looking for? Because I wasn't sat down in the classroom, I had to learn things from books and things like that, or somebody teaching me. The practical explanation is so much easier, certainly for me, to learn. If you are doing something in a practical nature, it's easy to learn it. So that's where I'm at now.
Okay. Well, let me interrupt you for a minute. I need to take a break just to remind my listeners that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves, and you're listening to We Are Not Alone. I am your host, David Twitchell, and we're speaking with the experiencer and author, Mr. Kevin Briggs, Kevin J. Briggs. And you've mentioned a lot. First of all, you talk about leaving your body and going with these ORT, and ORT is the right spelling, right?
Yes, ORT.
ORT and D. And they are your guides, am I correct?
Yes, that's correct, yes.
Now, but you talk about going in your spiritual body. Did I hear you say you can also go physically through walls? And because that's what a lot of that's what most abductees, experiencers, shall we call them, report, is that physically they are able to go through walls or windows and up to the craft. Do you find that's true as well?
I haven't, I don't tend to, I can't just go and walk through that wall. I don't have that ability.
Okay.
Okay, I can leave my body and walk through the wall,
Okay.
but I can't do it in the physical realm here. I have heard of others that can, but I cannot. I haven't developed that. And I'm sure we probably could develop it if you wanted to, but not personally, no. If I want to go to, I have been on craft physically. But if I want to go somewhere, I'll say I do it out of body because those are the modalities of communication and travel that I've been taught by ORT&D. So it's just another sense to me rather than the five senses we've now got out of body travel. I can bilocate, I'm able to do that.
Okay.
And the reason,
Physically,
but
right?
again, that's. It's out of body bilocating.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and I understand why now, because they give me downloads of information. They gave me down. I'm sat by my pool, David, minding my own business, just relaxing. And they give me an understanding of a download of the quantum unified field theory, which I know nothing about. I'm not a scientist, and I'm sat, and they gave me all this information in an instant with an explanation about duality, entanglement, and everything that goes with the quantum unified field, the duality, the entanglement, and everything. And I said to them, "You've just given me all this information in an instant. How do I know it's come from you? And it's not just my own imagination. Can you show me a craft to confirm the information's come from you?" And the craft appeared immediately outside of my pool cage. I went in to get my wife, and I said, "Sandy, come out and witness this craft that's just appeared." We both went outside. A second craft, three, four, five, seven appeared in total. They flew slowly and silently over our heads, changed direction by about 80 degrees. and then disappeared sequentially as they had appeared. And then on another occasion, I was sat by my pool again, and they gave me information about the theory of everything, again, which I didn't know anything about. They explained it all, and I won't go into it now in detail, but and I said, "Look, you've just given me all this information. I'm just sat here relaxing, enjoying myself, and you've now given me all this information about the theory of everything." And it was a continuation, really, of the quantum unified field theory. And so I said, "Can you show me a craft? So I know it's not my imagination, and the information's come from you." A craft appeared immediately just outside the pool cage. One, two, three flashes. So I knew it from them. And but I've done that all my life in relation to when I'm given information. Very often they'll wake me up at 111, 222, 333, or 444. There's usually some synchronicity with it. They will give me a telepathic communication, and I will get up, I would walk into my bathroom and repeat the message back to them and say, "Look, you've just given me this message. I want to confirm it's come from you. If it's come from you, can you turn that street light off?" And the streetlight went off immediately. And then vice versa, I've had them wake me up in the morning when it's daylight, give me a telepathic communication. I walk into my bathroom, I repeat the message back to them, and I say, "Look, you've just given me this message. Can you turn that streetlight on to confirm it's come from you?" And they do that. So again, when you do that all the time, you become very confident with your telepathic abilities. And now we've got the telepathy tapes by Dr. Powell. Diane Hennessy Powell. So now we've got the scientific evidence that we have the ability of telepathic communication. Again, as a child or a young adult, if you spoke about these things, you were classed as delusional or you had mental health problems. But now it's been proved by Dr. Powell that humans do have these abilities. We just don't develop them. But clearly, I've been assisted by OMD to understand consciousness itself. And again, going back, how it's just a conduit, it's just a communication. But then you've got your travel, you can use it for healing, communication, education, creation, and co-creation. So that's really where I'm at now. But interesting, very often they'll ask me to do something. And one occasion, Ork came to me and said, "Kevin, we want you to go down to the MUFON conference in Orlando." And I only live 40 minutes west of Orlando. And I said, "Oh, okay, then." I wasn't really bothered about going, actually. But I said, "Right, okay, I'll go." On the way down there, I said to Ort, I'm just driving along, I said, "Look, Ort, telepathically, I don't know why you're asking me to go down here, but if I'm going down here, I want to meet someone that will help me on my journey." So anyway, I went, I got there. I was very impressed, it was very well organized. The people that were there, a lot of engineers, doctors, amazing, some lawyers, all these professional people. And one of the lectures in the morning was Kathleen Marden. I'd heard of her, I didn't know her. And then it was lunchtime, so I went to the cafeteria to get a sandwich. It was full, there wasn't a seat anywhere. I bought a sandwich. I looked for a place to sit, and I saw one seat in this whole canteen area. And there were two ladies on this table. So I walked over. I said, "Would you mind if I sat down to eat my sandwich?" They said, "No, sit down." They were busy chatting to one another. I ate my sandwich. And then when I'd finished the sandwich, they brought me into their conversation. And we started discussing the ETs and different experiences. And one of those ladies there was Dr. Melanie Barton. She was a person I was there to meet. So, but very often they will arrange things so things happen in a certain way. I didn't know who she was. I'd never heard of her before. But obviously, she's become a good friend now. But through Dr. Melanie Barton, I was introduced to Kathleen Marden, who's very well known in the field of ufology. And I also met Denise Stoner. I went to a experiences meeting about, I think about 8 o'clock in the morning when it started. And I'd never met other people that had contact with the ETs like I do. So I found that very interesting and quite enlightening, really, to see that there were many others like me. And but from there, I was introduced to Kathleen Marden, and we arranged to go out for lunch. There's me, Kathleen, Denise, and Dr. Melanie Barton. And coincidentally, Kathleen Madden lives about 10 minutes from where I do. So we went to a local restaurant. We had a discussion. And then Kathleen Madden invited us back to her home to continue the discussion. And all the four of us went back there. And then we were chatting away. And then Denise said, "Kevin, do you know what you're doing?" I said, "No, what am I doing?" She said, "Kevin, you're channeling information." I said, Oh, I wasn't aware. She says, "Oh, yes, you're channeling." I said, "Oh, okay." So from that discussion, we decided that they would come to my home once a month on a Saturday, and we would explore this. On the first day, on the first Saturday, they both arrived, Kathleen, Denise, and Melanie Brown. And Melanie did a meditation, and they said, "Let's see if we can reach out to our star families." So she did a meditation, and then she said to everybody in the room, "Did anybody get any information?" Kathleen said no. Denise said no. Melanie didn't get any. She said, "Kevin, did you receive any information?" I said, "No, I didn't receive any, no." And then she said, "Are you sure?" I said, "Well, yes." I said, "Well, except there's a male stood in front of me. I can feel his frequency." And she said, "Well, who is it?" I said, "I don't know, but I know he's there. I can feel him." And said, "Well, ask him." So I asked him, and it was Ort. And he then spoke to me, through me, for 40 minutes to the four of us. And that was the first channel that I ever did. I wasn't particularly interested in channeling. It wasn't something I wanted to do. But clearly they wanted me to use it.
Were you aware of your the fact that you were channeling, or that you were saying words that weren't yours?
Yes, I was aware I was channeling, but I wasn't aware of what I was saying. Because
Okay.
when we read the transcripts afterwards, sometimes my wife transcribed them, sometimes Kathleen transcribed them. And when I read them, I thought, wow, did I say that? Wow, I didn't know I knew that. It was like listening to someone else that had written it. It was very informative. But because of that, we met every Saturday, sorry, every once a month, every Saturday, for 2 years. And I said they were transcribed, some were recorded. And then Kathleen wrote a book just recently, her latest book, Forbidden Knowledge,
Oh,
by Kathleen Marden.
yeah.
And in there are some of the transcripts from some of the channeled information. And I think there's over 100 questions that we asked with the answers that Ort gave us. So that's, if you're interested in channeling, interested in direct communication with a group of known extraterrestrials, then that's a good book for people to read. So, and I think half of it is about channeling. What's interesting with this one, I know, I think, let me have a look at, yeah, my picture appears, if you can see that, on page 111. Now, within the spirituality of who we are, there are very often synchronicities. And I asked Kathleen, and 111 is a synchronicity they use all the time with me. I said, "Kathleen, did you put that on page 111 on purpose?" She said, "No." She said, "I just sent it off to the publisher, and it came back on page 111." But that's the first edition. She's now got a second edition. I don't know what she's with that one. But then she did another book on extraterrestrial contact with, again, Kathleen Martin. And she asked me for some help. She'd had a negative entity attach itself to her. And she asked if the Council of Eight could remove it for her. So I asked them, and they removed it immediately. She mentions that story in this book. And I mentioned on page 222, again, continuing. It says, top of page 222, "I met Kevin Briggs, the channel for non-human intelligence consciousness, in September 2015. So that's very interesting. And 2015 is very interesting as well, because this lady here, let's have a look, is almost this lady who wrote Quantum Windows and Dimensions, A Christian Woman's Journey of Faith and ET Contact. by Rebecca Renfro. She met with Orton Dee in 2015, and she writes about it in this book. So we've got meeting.
Did she know that Orton Dee were your contacts as before?
No,
that?
Not then. I didn't know her then.
Okay.
I only met her a few years ago. I went down to a MUFON meeting in Lake Wales, I think it was, here in Florida. The guy was talking about the evolution of the planet. I thought, oh, that sounds interesting. And I wanted to meet the organizer because I wanted to take a copy of my own book. So I went down to that meeting. I can't remember what year it was now. But the person who was at the door collecting the $10 to attend or whatever, and was Rebecca Renfro. That's the first time I met her. I don't know how many years ago it was. 3 or 4, something like that now. But what was interesting was I'd taken my own book, Spiritual Consciousness, A Personal Journey, to give to the organizer, and because I was hoping if I do a talk there. And the presentation finished, and I went outside to get my book in the car. I came back in, and Lynn, I think she was a lady that organized it all, she was surrounded by people. So I gave the book to Rebecca Renfro, and I said, here, can you give that to Lynn? It's a free copy of my book. I may be able to come down and talk about it. She said, yes, I will. She took a hold of the book, and then she got a telepathic message saying, turn to the back pages, you will receive confirmation. She opened the book at the back where there's a picture, I can't find it now, but I don't know what it is, a picture of Orton Dee. And she said, I know Orton Dee. I've met them. I must get in touch with Kevin. So she got in touch with me. I'd already left, but a mutual friend gave her my email address. We met. I went down to her home for a cookout with her family. In fact, I went down with Kathleen Madden and her husband. We had a nice cookout for the afternoon. We talked about the contact with Orton Dee, and she mentions it in the Quantum Windows and Dimensions. So what's happening now is Orton Dee, the Council of Eight, are reaching out to others. It's not just me anymore. Which is nice to know. And I've got another friend, Aurora Belcia, and she's just had recent communication with the Council of Eight. We went to a CE5 meeting locally in Ocala, and after she'd been to that meeting, she was able to sketch and draw artwork. She's never been able to do that in the past. And she got channeled information of the Council of Eight, and she's drawn them all, and in fact they've been uploaded onto the Exoconscious Humans website. If you want to see them, go to gallery and click on Aurora's name, and there's all eight of the Council of Eight channeled portraits through Aurora Belcia, which is interesting. What they're doing, they're using our consciousness for communication, using telepathic communication, using channeling. So, but it's nice to see that they're reaching out to others now. As I say, we've got Rebecca Renfro, we've got Kathleen Marden, Denise Stoner, and all these people being contacted.
As to these Council of Eight, are these eight beings from planets within our galaxy?
They're from different areas. I don't know where they're all from. I know some are from the Pleiades system. Orton Dee are Arcturians from Andromeda, they tell me. The Anunnaki, now he's very interesting. Oh. He's because he's a ninth dimensional being. Well, at ninth dimension, you don't have a physical, but he can manifest into a physical anytime he wants, but that's because he's a higher dimensional being. And the only difference between the dimensions are the frequencies of consciousness. And they gave me an equation for calculating the frequencies of consciousness in each dimension. And that's just been published in this book, A Greater Reality by Ray Hernandez. And Ray asked me to be a contributing author about my experience. So I did that. and I included the equation for calculating the frequencies of consciousness within each dimension. So if there's any people that are interested in that, it's in volume five. And but this volume, it is volume five. Volume five is contribution chapters by experiencers like myself. So they're all experiences here. Dr. Melanie Barton does a chapter. I've got a chapter. Susan Manwich has a chapter from the Exo Conscious community. And there are others, I haven't read them all yet. But so it's shown that they're expanding their connection with humanity, really. They're here to assist, they're benevolent, that they want to help us evolve as a species. And to do that, we have to have an understanding of consciousness, the quantum unified theory,
Yeah,
the theory of everything.
it sounds like they're talking to a lot of people. They're communicating with a lot of people around the world, and these books are out, like your own, and trying to talk to we lowly humans about what's really going on in the universe if people would only open their minds and listen, correct?
Yes, oh, without a doubt. I mean, I'm just one of many, David. I'm one small piece in a huge jigsaw. I've got a small amount of the information. And
It's like
if I disappeared tomorrow, it wouldn't matter because the rest of the pieces are still out there, and we can still form the full whole picture. But
like a cog in the wheel, right?
yes, that's it. Just a cog in the wind, yeah.
But
In fact.
you take out one little cog and the wheel doesn't work, right?
Well, possibly, yeah. I never thought about it that way. But in fact, I was listening to Susan Walker talking quite a while ago now, and she was talking about a group called the Penti, and they spell it P apostrophe NTI. I'd never heard of them, so I thought, well, I'll see if I can. And she's had contact with them from childhood, so I thought I'll see if I can reach out using my telepathic abilities. So I reached out, I relaxed, opened my mind, reached out to them, and I got telepathic communication with two of them. And when I get telepathic communication, I also receive a visual. And the visual is like watching a TV screen like that. It's so clear. And within that, then I get the telepathic message and the emotions attached to the information. So it's like a three-way communication with telepathic communication. And I reached out and I spoke with two of them. And we had a conversation, and then they left. And then I thought, oh, go on Susan Walker's website and see what she's got on there. So I went onto the website, and she's got pictures of all these Penti that she's drawn or sketched, or somebody's done it for, I'm not certain. But the first two were the two that I saw. So I got confirmation myself of the two. And since then, I've met them again, and then they reached out to me not so long ago and said that they are supporting the reveal globally of our star family's presence. And I think that's a huge step because now we've got another section of extraterrestrial beings or ultra-terrestrial, whatever you want to put on the title, who are supporting the reveal globally of our star families. So that's again another huge step. I think we need more to come on board. But I did an interesting thing happened to me, David, a couple of years ago. I live out in the country. I've got two German Shepherd dogs. Always quiet at night because there's nobody about. It's very quiet. There's one or two houses dotted about, and it's a dirt road, so nobody comes down. My dog started barking, so I thought there might be an intruder. So I got up, I turned all the outside lights on to frighten them away, and then I went outside. I went outside the front door. And I looked across my paddock, and there were seven greys walking across my paddock towards me. I thought, wow, what do I do now? So I wasn't frightened. I went back in and I closed the door. I took my dogs in and secured them. And then the door opened slowly on its own to about 18 inches. And then all seven came in. They sat down in my living room. And at that time, I had two three-seater sofas and a two-seater. We sat down, we had a meeting. They allowed me the memory of the meeting, but not what was discussed. But I was a suspect, again, because I have these abilities and I'm not frightened by them, they are open to coming and meeting and discussing things with me. But they didn't, I don't know what was spoken. And I don't know who they are, David. That's interesting. I don't know who they are.
Okay, let me take one more break to remind our listeners that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves, and you're listening to We Are Not Alone. I'm David Twitchell, your host, and we're speaking with Mr. Kevin J. Briggs. So, Kevin, catch us up on what's been happening in the past 3 years since you were on
Okay.
the show.
Okay. There's all sorts going on, David. It's just unbelievable. I'm a member of the Exo-Conscious Community, founded by Rebecca Hart-Cassell-Wright. And how we were introduced is another interesting story. I'm out with my dogs one day, and a rainbow appears 180 degrees in front of my home from ground to ground. And Edgar Mitchell speaks to me telepathically and gives me some information. And he says that I knew who he was. I didn't know him, but I'd heard of him. I
Was
know who.
this after Edgar's passing?
Yes, about 3 or 4 months after his passing.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so I'm out with my dogs, just relaxing, minding my own business, David. And this rainbow appears. It's beautiful. And they do use rainbows as portals and for communication. I know that now, and I see them all the time. But he introduced himself. And he said, "I would like you to, would you convey a message for me to my dear friend, Dr. Rebecca Hart-Cassell-Wright?" And I said, "Yes, what's the message?" So he gave me the message. I said, "Yes, I can do that, no problems." And he disappeared. And so I thought, well, I'd never heard of Rebecca Hart-Cassell-Wright before. I didn't know who she was. So I phoned my friend, Dr. Melanie Barton. And I said, "Melanie, I've just been given this information by Edgar Mitchell. And, but it's for somebody called Rebecca Hart-Cassell-Wright, and I've never heard of her." And she said, "Well, I think Kathleen Marden knows Rebecca Hart-Cassell-Wright, so I'll contact her." And Kathleen Marden wrote an email as an introduction to Rebecca Hart-Cassell-Wright. We conversed by email, and then we had a phone conversation. I conveyed the message. And that message was important to her. And within the message, there was some private information that only Edgar and her would know. So that was really confirmation for her. And because of that, now we've become friends. I joined her Exo-Conscious Community. I've been a member for over 3 years now. We meet once a week, usually on a Thursday at this time. Although we haven't met this Thursday because we start again on October the 30th. But so, yeah. And through the Exo-Conscious Community, I have met other people now who have, there's a lady there, Dr. Karen McLeod. She gets the same downloads verbatim from the Council of Eight that I get. She got the download of the Quantum Unified Field Theory. She heard me talking about it, and she said, "Well, that's exactly what I've got. Who is this man? Who's this Kevin Briggs?" It turns out she worked with Rebecca Hart-Cassell-Wright about 15 years ago. So, and then she saw that Rebecca had a Exo-Conscious Community, so she joined. And Dr. Carrie McLeod is in our group. So then we met, we've become friends, and now she's been receiving communication direct from the Council of Eight. In fact, she texted me this morning. She just had some information this morning. So it's quite interesting how we are expanding our collective consciousness. But it's interesting that we understand that. Because of the information we've been given. I'll just tell you one quick story, David, because I think this is important. I was contacted by a guy called Sperry Andrews. He's passed now, unfortunately. He was a leading scientist in consciousness, and he saw me speaking on the Jeff Maher podcast, and he reached out to me. We had a Zoom. We spoke for about a couple of hours, then we had two or three more Zooms. And it appeared that all his theories on consciousness supported the practical experiences that I had in relation to the communication, the outer body travel. And then he contacted me one day and said, "Kevin, would you ask Orton D what they know about the void?" And I thought, "Oh, okay, I'll do that." Yeah.
What they know about what?
The void.
Oh, the void.
VOID, the void. And I know the word, but I had no understanding of any meaning surrounding it. So I asked Orton D, and they gave me an equation for the void of consciousness. and with an explanation of how all timelines, past, present, and future timelines, are created or co-created from the void of consciousness itself. Now, I gave Sperry Andrews the equation. He understood the equation, which was fascinating. And obviously, the explanation about the timelines, I understand that because I know when I was about 17 or 18, I was taken out of body with Ort to the edge of, shall we say, the physical consciousness, where the void of consciousness starts. And when I traveled there with Ort, he said that, I asked him, I'm at the end of the universe. He said, no, we're edge of consciousness itself, but there's a void out there for consciousness to grow. I didn't fully understand it then. I do now because of the equation and the explanation of the timelines, how they are created or co-created. And if you want to see that particular channel with that information, I did that several years ago with a lady called Susan Schatzer. And I talk about going to that edge of consciousness, out of body, with art. And then there's another channel, if anybody's interested, in the Exoconscious Community website. There's a channel I did there where I channeled art and I channeled Ra. More information for people that are interested in relation for this group, this Council of Eight. So and another thing that was interesting, with Aurora Bell Seer's artwork on the T-shirt of Zark, the scientist, is the equation for the void of consciousness. So she was giving it as well. It's fascinating how they're duplicating everything. Many, many years ago, it was just me talking about it. I think most people thought we're delusional, maybe. But now they're growing exponentially. They're reaching out to others. And I listen to a lot of the other experiences now, and their contact is just fascinating. So many there with different areas of expertise that the ETs are sharing with them and educating them. So, yeah, I think it's an exciting time to be alive, David, and to be witnessing all this and be part of it as well. That in itself is fascinating.
Yes, yes. And you talk about Ort and D being, and all of these others being on the fifth dimension, where we're on the, are you safe? We're on the third?
Yeah.
We're on the third dimension. Is it possible that way back when, you know, 4,000, 2,000 years ago, people were downloading information, seeing beings from the fifth dimension, and confusing it with and passing it down through generation from generation to generation as religious experiences?
I would agree with that. Because
maybe we shouldn't go there, but I'm going.
But it's a sensitive subject, David. But I think it depends where we are in our history itself, what knowledge we have, and we apply the knowledge to explain something that we see. So if we see an apparition in the sky, whether it be a male or a female, we put it down to either it's demonic, or it's God, or it's angelic. There were the right, two choices. We didn't say back then, 4,000 years ago, oh, it's extraterrestrials, or it's higher conscious beings who live in the fifth, sixth, or seventh dimension,
mm-hmm.
because we didn't have that knowledge, that information.
Right.
But interesting that you say that, because Chris Bledsoe, he's an experiencer, and he has, I think he calls it, a white lady who's appeared to him on a number of occasions. And I don't know whether she's from the angelic realm or whether she's an extraterrestrial, but he calls in the craft. He goes outside, and he did it recently in Washington, D.C. I think it was at one of the congressional hearings there. And while walking through Washington, D.C., he asked for a craft to show itself, and it did. Everybody saw it. People took photographs, I believe. But he does it all the time. So they're reaching out to, if you're interested in the subject, the information is out there. You just got to go and research it and find it. And you can ask yourself. Anybody can go out into the backyard and say, can you show me a craft? You have to believe in it first and then they will show you craft. If
Right.
you want craft as proof, as evidence, they won't do it that way. You have to believe in it first, reach out with an open heart and ask them to show you craft, and they will.
Yeah, it takes a little while to call these in, but you might, if you have the patience, half hour or an hour, just to call them in. And it's similar to praying, is that correct?
Exactly, no different whatsoever. What is a prayer? It's a thought. You are putting that thought out there. And what's a thought? A thought is consciousness, it has frequencies. So when you're putting a prayer out there, you're spreading it out to the universe, which is consciousness itself. And I believe that we all have a piece of consciousness or piece of divine within us.
Right.
And that's our share of the consciousness. Of the, in fact, I asked Orton and the Council of Eight if they believed in God, because I wanted to know, and they said yes, they do, but we don't believe in a single deity like many of your religious do on Earth. We believe in a source energy, and that source energy is consciousness itself, and that makes sense to me. But they still refer to it as God. So what's the difference, really? It's just changing the aspect. So yeah, prayer is channeling in reverse, really. You're asking for something, and very often you receive it. And obviously, if you're asking God from your perspective, it's coming from God. So there's no difference, I don't think. I had an interest. I've got a friend of mine, David. He's just been here on vacation, and he's a retired detective from the UK. Never believed in ETs. Never believed in UFOs. Always a skeptic, but a good friend of mine. He comes over twice a year usually and has a couple of weeks vacation with us. And on this occasion, we were sat by my pool again, his wife and my wife. We were just chatting after the day, and I asked him if he wanted a beer. He said yes. So I went inside to get a beer. I reached in to get two beers into the fridge, and as I reached in, I said to Council of Eight, Orton, "Now will be a good time to show my friend a craft." So I took the beers outside. I sat down. As I sat down, a craft appeared at the back of our property, below the tree line. It moved about in a mysterious way, and then it went shot straight up. He saw it. He was absolutely gobsmacked, but it changed his whole reality. He now does it. He now does his own research. When he comes over, he says, "Kevin, can we do a C5? Can we ask if we can ask you?" So from being a skeptic to now believing, he now talks about it. He buys me little things as well when he comes over. Got my little grey alien and a magnet and an alien on. So it's changed, and I think that's what will happen globally. When we all see the craft, it will change our perspective, because most people want the evidence first, and it doesn't work like that. You've got to believe in it first, and then you can get the
Yeah,
evidence.
you can't blame them for that, but at the same time, we've got enough evidence out there already, I think, to convince a jury. So
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Yes,
we are
I think so. There's so much there, yeah.
the jury. So listen, I'm very sorry, but we have run out of time. But
Okay.
Kevin Briggs, I want to thank, he's the author of Spiritual Consciousness, A Personal Journey. And once again, thank you so much for joining us. And you have more information, I'm sure.
Yeah,
So
oh, plenty, David. Perhaps we can meet again sometime. Don't leave it 3 years this time, though.
no. Oh, I'm
Thank
trying
you for
not
inviting me, David. I've enjoyed chatting with you.
to.
Without people like you, I can't get the message out there. So thank you very much. I do appreciate it.
That's right. Thanks again for joining us. Have a good one. Bye.
And I want to thank you, the loyal listener. Go to WHFR's homepage, scroll down to We Are Not Alone, and click on the headline, which will take you to where you can find my website with all the archive shows. Or click on the Talk Shows button, then the We Are Not Alone button for the latest show archives. And please join me the first Monday of each month at 2 p.m. when we will again explore the mysteries of the UAP phenomenon. And until then, this is David Twitchell reminding you to keep an eye on the sky.